Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to this edition of Hard Worka on the PTJG Broadcast Network. This show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to some of the nation's most innovative companies, and he explores some of the career journeys behind some of the country's most influential individuals. And this is all done with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter that is unique to Pete the Job Guy Langlois. Take it away, Pete.
Hello, all you hard workers. And guess what? You did it. You made a great decision right there. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And that's a good decision because I give career advice. I have great guests that tell us all about their career journeys and the wonderful organizations they represent. I know there's no shortage of people that are doing podcasts. There's no shortage of people that are out there dispensing information. And I always warn all my listeners that if you're going to get information from somebody and you're going to act on it, make sure it's a reliable resource, that it's somebody that knows what the heck they're talking about. I mean, you get these 20-somethings that are lying on the beach at noon in a bikini saying, listen to me, you'll live this euphoric lifestyle and I have the answer to all your problems. Well, do they really, really have the answers to the problems? Have they lived a life? Do they know what they're talking about? So when I give career advice, I'm uniquely qualified because I am a career expert. I have been running staffing agencies for, 20 years. My last one, I built $120 million. I had 400 employees. And I mean, when you have 400 employees, you deal with a lot of stuff. I dealt with a lot of stuff. And I'm telling you, when I tell you the right path, go down that path, folks, because I am uniquely qualified to tell you that. I got a great guest. I'm going to introduce her in just a second, but I want to talk to you a little bit about mentors and guides and influencers in your life. You know, I named the show Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy because I learned early in my life that anything can be accomplished with hard work. It's a key ingredient to any successful recipe, okay? Any recipe for success, the fundamental ingredient is hard work. And my dad put that on me. I remember when he was talking highly about someone, he would say, Pete, that guy's a hard worker. Or that person is a hard worker. You know, from Boston, so it's hard worker. So I knew that that was important to him. And I wanted to be a hard worker. I wanted to be seen in that light. And you know what? It changed my whole life when I just give everything my ultimate best. And it's made me the success that I am. So my dad was a major influencer in my life. A little story I want to tell you right now is about what a fleeting mentor is. Fleeting, like only in your life for an instant. It came, it went, it's gone. A fleeting mentor is somebody who influenced you, who might have changed the course of your life, and that person didn't do it maybe on purpose or didn't even know. One fleeting mentor I had was when I was in the Navy, and this guy, Senior Chief Chapman, walks up to me out of nowhere. Really didn't have much of a relationship with him. We weren't really in a reporting structure. I didn't report to him or anything. I was just a young 18-year-old person on the flight deck, and he says, Langlois. And I see, he says, what are you going to do? I said, what do you mean, what am I going to do? What are you going to do with your life? You're going to stay in the Navy the whole time? I said, you know, I don't know. I'd like to go to school. Oh, you want to go to school, huh? What do you want to get, your degree? I said, yeah, I guess. He goes, all right, here's what you need to do. Grab a pen and a paper. And he told me exactly how I could work 50-plus hours in the Navy and the college programs that were available to me on base, the college campuses that were on military institutions. And it took me, you know, a little over 6 years. I was in the Navy for 7, but I did exactly what he said. And I got my degree. I got a bachelor's degree in adult education from Southern Illinois University. Took me about 6 years to do that. I had no student loan debt. I had a 3.39 overall GPA, and I was working on my master's degree at the time I got out of the Navy. But that little conversation I had with him, I've never even had the chance to thank him. I've tried to find him and reach out to him. Maybe I should try a little harder because that had a profound impact on my life, getting that piece of paper and that education. That's a fleeting mentor. If you guys have a chance to make somebody's life a little brighter, a little better, make things a little easier, sometimes it's just a quick conversation. Hey, do this. And you can have a profound impact on people's lives. All right, guys, I told you I have a great guest. And let me read a bio, because my guest, I've tried to get her on the show a bunch of times. And finally, I got her on the show. I couldn't be more excited about it. My guest today is Mindy Barker, a financial strategist who owns her own consulting business that focuses on helping companies get ready to pitch to investors. Now, I'm going to tell you, I sold a company. I was coached all along the way. There are so many variables. This is not something you're going to do OJT. You need to work side by side, shoulder to shoulder with an expert that guides you through the process. Mindy does a tremendous amount of volunteer work to support entrepreneurs and the community through her board participation at nonprofits, participation in education programs sponsored by Jacksonville SCORE, UNF Entrepreneurship Center, Small Business Development Council, and the Embark LA program. Barker Associates provides interim and fractional CFO services, financial planning and analysis on a project basis, and review and preparation of presentation materials, as well as coaching the presenter for pitching investors. Very, very, very important. Mindy Barker, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Well, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad. I had to push back one time. I had a little health thing, but I'm glad you're finally here. Tell us a little bit more about you. And like I said, I tell my background experience because it helps qualify me to be the person I am and do what I do. Tell us a little bit about you and your background, if you would, please.
Well, I'm an accountant and a CPA, and I started my career with a national accounting firm, and I've worked as a principal and CFO of a private equity firm, and I've also worked as a CFO of small and large organizations, small enough that I've had to worry about, are we going to make payroll in a couple of weeks? And I've also worked for a large organization that had a treasury that dealt with that. So I have a unique blend of experience as a CFO with helping deal with different types of strategies and developing strategies as well as implementing it.
Wow. You know, I mentioned up front about mentors and guides, and I mentioned that my dad had a profound impact in the way I turned out. Did your parents influence your career path?
Yes, very much so. My father was the first person in his family to graduate from college. He graduated from Georgia Tech, and we lived in Toccoa, Georgia, the same town that my parents met in high school. They were high school sweethearts, and our whole world was in Toccoa, Georgia. And one day he came home and he told all of us that we were moving to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and that he was going to start a business to metallize the eggs for the Sheer Energy pantyhose. And
oh, wow. I remember those.
Yes. Yeah, so I was in ninth grade at the time, and I've always been a people person and a social person. And that was not the best news for me, that I was going to be leaving all of my friends that I had grown up with in North Georgia and go to North Carolina. And I have to say that I was a pain in the butt for my parents. And so whenever we got there, my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and I think she got so tired of me, she put me in the car with my dad one morning to go to work. So that was a good experience in that my dad was too busy for me to gripe, and he wasn't going to put up with it anyway. And so he put me to work, and I got to work and watch my dad build a company. And believe me, it was not easy. We were producing something, so we had a line. Machineries would break. That people wouldn't show up for work. I can remember one time we were back in the back, and a lot of the women were working on what's called piecework, where we were inspecting the eggs. And one of the ladies got mad because the air conditioning wasn't working, and she took off her shirt and she didn't have on a bra. And my dad had to come back there and tell her to put on her shirt. And her name was Ronnie. And I mean, but believe me, I'm 15 years old watching my dad tell a woman, the topless, to put on a shirt. It was definitely an experience I will never forget.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, when you were talking about your experience, so you came up a national accounting firm, you have your CPA, and you're entrenched in corporate world here, you know, CFO for small and large companies. You're in the corporate world, and you work your way all the way to the top. And then all of a sudden, a switch flicks, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, and I got to change all the... You know, how do you get to that decision, and what did you have to do to become an entrepreneur?
Well, if I knew everything that I had to do when I was going to be an entrepreneur, I may not have done it, because it's definitely a journey. And I tell people all the time that after I'd been doing it for a couple of years, I said, it's the best self-development program you can do, start your own business, because you definitely learn a lot about yourself, and you don't have the other C-suite executives surrounding you. You have to be everything to everyone. You have to be your own risk management, your own legal firm, and you have to do a lot of different things. I do have a funny story. Like when I first started, I got into a contract with somebody and it wasn't going very well. And I'm still really good friends with one of the in-house legal counsel attorneys that I worked with in one of the large organizations. And I sent her the contract and I called her and asked her if she would help me figure out what to do. And the first thing she said, I love you, but I have to ask you, how did you get yourself in this situation? And I said, because I didn't have you, because I'm flying blind. And, we worked out a way to get out of the situation, but you have to understand when you're an entrepreneur, how different it is than the corporate environment. One of the reasons that I chose to go down that path is that the times that I've been the happiest in my corporate career have been times that I've been working with a variety of companies. So when I worked for the national accounting firm, I worked with a variety of companies. When I worked with a private equity firm, I worked with a variety of companies, not only our portfolio companies that we had, but also the companies that were seeking investment. Most of the 8 years that I was with the private equity firm, my job was to look at every company that presented themselves for investment and decide whether they went to the next step or not. Now, that was a process that had been worked out with the entire organization. And if I had any questions, I asked other people, but I would take them through a process and make sure that they met our criteria. So I looked at hundreds of deals. I had to get up to speed on different companies, and I absolutely love learning. And I love the opportunity to try to figure out what makes a company tick, get in there and figure out cash is king. Do we have enough cash to pay the bills and move forward? And is the strategy executable? Most of the time, companies have developed a strategy. Sometimes it's just not executable. And honestly, sometimes some people come up with an idea that solves a problem, but no one is willing to pay for that problem being solved. And I'll give you a quick example. If you go to a doctor and you're trying to solve a problem, and that doctor sends you to a specialist who's right next door in the same hospital group, 9 times out of 10, that second doctor is going to hand you a piece of paper and make you fill out the exact same information you just filled out next door. And you sit there and you say, there's got to be a way to solve this in 2020. We have all kinds of databases and ways to transfer information. But I'm telling you that I manage my parents' health care, and it's maddening how many times you answer the same question.
Right. I think that's a good example, and I've seen it. I want to come back and talk a little bit more, kind of dig in deep as to what your consulting practice really does. But that music tells us we got to take a quick break and listen to this message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy on the all-new PTJG Broadcast Network.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, partner at Ascendo Resources right here in Jacksonville. Chances are we already know each other because I've been in staffing right here in Jacksonville for 20 years. I'm actually surrounded by a team of staffing professionals that come to work every day and have fun and work hard. If you aren't getting the talent that you need, let me make your life easier. It's one call, 904-479-9610. That's 904-479-9610. And remember, here at Ascendo Resources, we're bringing back the hustle.
All right, guys, you know, my guest is Mindy Barker. And Mindy, if you would please tell me about your consulting practice and how you work with business professionals to really align the financial strategy with their overall business strategy.
So I work with them to help them understand the financial part of it, the cash is king part of it. Everybody understands it from a macro basis, but when you really dig down into it, let me give you an example. Most of the time when I work with early stage companies and they're developing a technology or they're developing an app, the initial set of projections that they provide me only has technology IT development people working up until the time that they launch the technology to generate revenue. And I know, because I've worked with technology before, technology is always evolving. Think about any technology you use in your business or personally, the iPhone, for example, good grief, they're issuing those all the time. There's no way you're going to launch a technology and not have that additional cost on the other side. Those types of things, like the insurance that you need, then all that type of thing, it's hard for an early stage company to think about that type of thing. So we incorporate all of that in the projections to make sure that we're presenting projections that make a lot of sense and that the revenue model that they are presenting with those projections makes sense and that they are going to be able to account for it appropriately when they start executing that strategy. And I also work with large companies. I've worked with companies that are like hundreds of millions of dollars. And as they present to investors, they honestly need help understanding how to translate. They've worked inside their corporate world. They understand their corporation and they have been articulating it to friends and family and stakeholders. But once they get to the point where they need to communicate it externally, they need to step back and think about what am I selling and who am I selling to, right, and what are investors looking for? Right. And I, with my experience with private equity and working in CFO in the M&A world, I can help them translate the data that they do have or even generate data that they don't have that we can accumulate and present properly.
Right.
And it helps them win. I mean, right, they want to win, right?
Right. And you have to have that kind of someone there that is an expert like you, Mindy. I know I've been an entrepreneur, even though I've known my business inside and out, what I do, to go ahead. And if you don't understand the flow of money through the organization, you don't understand, there's just so many variables that have to be taken into consideration. Even if, like, you know, some people, they get to a certain point in life, say, oh, you know what, I'm going to open up a restaurant or I'm going to do this. And, you know, that's a leap and that's a big change and that's tough and that's a whole different set of circumstances. But even for me, that I know if I'm going to open a staffing company, right, you know, you're dealing with billable hours, you're dealing with, you know, the people, payroll, space, overhead, financing, you know, the what ifs that come up, market hiccups, balance, long range, short range, reassessing. You can't, OJT, I can't say it enough. If you're a small business and you want to lose, wing it. if you're an entrepreneur and you want to win, enlist the help of an expert like Mindy Barker, Barker Associates, because that's how you win. Everybody, you don't go in business to go out of business. And, you know, why is, and this is a question, why is that financial infrastructure so important?
Well, would you drive your car down the highway without knowing how fast you're going or how much gas you have?
No, I would not.
Right. So why would you Why would you make decisions about your business without knowing how much cash you have? And trust me, so many people, when they want to know how much cash they have, they look at their balance on online banking. That is not how much cash you have. The cash that you have is what is in your financial infrastructure that you've set up that is like a traditional checkbook. Most people don't have a traditional checkbook. And trust me, even some of those multi-hundred-million-dollar companies that I've worked with, they really don't. And it's completely shocking to me that before people get ready to send out checks to vendors, they don't really know how much cash that they have. So it's that important. It helps you make decisions. There's also many, many times that companies are out there and a customer that is 50% of their revenue, they're losing money on that customer, but they don't have the right financial infrastructure to analyze that type of thing. They don't know that a certain location is losing money. So I am like 1,000% passionate about, if you have a great idea, if you have a great company, let's make sure that you have the right information, the right financial infrastructure to back it and take it to the next level. Do yourself a favor. A lot of business owners and entrepreneurs perceive that sometimes they feel like if they know the truth, then their business may fail. And you know what? If their business fails, they're going to be just fine. Right. And it's going to be a learning experience and we'll all move on. But you've got a better chance of managing it appropriately if we have the right information for you to make the right decisions.
Right, right. Now Mindy, you're busy in the community. I know you're a person that really believes in giving back to the community. Can you talk a little bit about your volunteer work and your focus on the community?
I love working with the community, and I have done a tremendous amount of volunteer work in speaking with the Jacksonville Women Business Center, which is a division of the Chamber. I've also worked on some of their entrepreneurial programs with Carleton. I've worked with the SBDC at UNF. I've worked with SCORE. You know, pre-pandemic, I had one of the best speaking engagements ever in February with SCORE, and they had a terrific conference, and I really enjoyed speaking with that group. That it was focused on how do you build your business and how do you have the right infrastructure, and we had a great conversation. I also recently did Embark LA, which was for Los Angeles. They set up a program for budding entrepreneurs to during the pandemic, because most of them had lost their restaurant jobs and their jobs, and the mayor set that up. And they asked me last minute to launch that program and be the keynote speaker the first night. And I had so much fun doing that, because after I was the keynote speaker, then I was on Slack and part of the program where people were asking questions. And that was a lot of fun for me. And then I also recently took on another volunteer job that I'm super excited about. I'm the treasurer of At the Table, which is an organization that provides support for female politicians that are running for office.
That's phenomenal. You really do a lot. You do a lot, and it's exciting. And you know, this question's important. And what can listeners do to really make sure they have the right financial infrastructure?
They can, they need to right size. Like if you're a $10,000 a year company, you don't need to go out and buy Oracle or Workday or any of those programs. You need to think about where you are in your journey of business growth, and then appropriately right size the solution. The QuickBooks Online, Xero, which is spelled X-E-R-O, is a good solution for smaller companies. As you get up into high growth middle market, you probably need to move to something like NetSuite, Workday. Some of those packages talk to each other and have the inventory, the communication with customers and with the bank working very efficiently. And then some of the higher level systems like SAS and Oracle and things like that, and are the type of systems that larger companies use. And you just have to evaluate where you are and also make sure that there's a really good return on the investments. I have seen companies invest in super duper systems, and it's just way more than what they need. And what happens when that occurs is that generally the organization and the employees will revert back to the old process and try to mash an old process into a new system, and the new system's not used correctly. And there's a lot of manual workarounds. And so not only is the money that was invested in the system not properly utilized, your people capital, which is one of your most expensive things on your income statement, is not properly used. I even had a client one time that when I walked in, the receptionist was using an old-timey typewriter to type up invoices to customers and put them in the mail. And they had an expensive system that was not being fully utilized. That's sad.
Right, right. You know, I got one last question, then I want to get out a lot of contact information. I want to make sure if the listeners want to reach you that they know how to do that. But I want to ask you this question. I ask all my guests this, and it's, let's say I had a time machine here, and I could put you in it, and you go back in time, and you get to meet up with 19, 20-year-old Mindy Barker, you know, and you could walk right up to your young self, put your hand on your shoulder, look your young self in the eye, and say, Mindy, I want to give you this bit of advice, you know, career advice or otherwise. What would you tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to use my intuition and my confidence more boldly throughout my life and throughout my career. The experience that I described earlier with my father moving us to North Carolina and taking a risk like that and watching my dad take some risks similar to that helped me have confidence in terms of taking risk. And if someone asked me, do you want to, how about this job, or why don't we do this? I was all in, and I was willing to deal with ambiguity and take risk and that sort of thing. But then sometimes when I got there, I probably should have been more confident and vocal about, I think we need to back up here a little bit, and I need to, and I probably should have even exited some situations I was in my career sooner than I did. And it was part of that old Southern upbringing in North Georgia that held me back a little bit. And now I've got it down, and I've got that vocal part down. But as whenever I was moving up through my career, it would have benefited me more if I'd had more confidence in that area.
Well, that's great advice. I mean, that's something you can tell your younger self and everybody, the listeners all listen on this call. I bet you got a nugget out of that, because that's important stuff. Mindy Barker, if you'd be kind enough, could you share with us some contact information so people can get a hold of you and perhaps engaged Barker Associates?
Yes. So my website is mindybarkerassociates.com. And my email address is cfo@mindybarkerassociates.com. And I would love for anyone to reach out and contact me and have a discussion about the right financial infrastructure so that they can realize their dreams.
Well, I highly recommend they do, because they'll learn a lot. Mindy Barker, thank you for being on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
It was great. Thank you.
All right, guys, this next part of the show is probably one of my favorite. No, even probably. It is my favorite. This is where we get our weekly leadership lesson from Coach Larry. And that's Coach Larry O'Brien. And he tells us information that helps managers become effective leaders. And we know there's a big difference between being a manager and being a leader. Larry's going to talk this. He's going to answer a question. How do you know if your culture is biased in your organization? So without any further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
A few years back, I was working with a tech firm in San Francisco to deliver diversity and inclusion training. This company was known for having a very strong corporate culture. This was the place that everyone wanted to be. As a matter of fact, people were leaving the Google and the Facebook to work here. They had corporate values like be a closer, be a champion, super jacked up, and the like. People who worked there were motivated and they were the best programmers in the business. They worked long hours. They had breakfast, lunch, and dinner catered to them from the best chefs. Their quarterly meetings were legendary. They had parties that were like raves. Not that I've been to a rave or know what one's like. I don't even know if they still use the word rave, to be honest. I remember delivering one of the training sessions where we were talking about microaggressions. The example that was shared was that a couple of project team members called the female project leader the B word. That was their example of a microaggression. That's macro. That's sexist and rude, to say the least. But in the exercise, we discussed how to intervene if you heard such a thing and why that behavior was inappropriate. As we are about to move on, one of the participants asked, okay, I get it. We shouldn't call our female coworkers the B word, but what if she's a vendor? Is that okay? I've been facilitating for 20 years plus. I know when people are pulling my leg. I looked around the room and everyone was dead serious. Are you serious? I asked. Yes, he was serious, and apparently the other participants wanted to know the answer as well. What was it about the culture that made perfectly decent human beings, raised by moms, I'm assuming, which is dangerous, ask if it is okay to use that word with a vendor but not a coworker? It had to do with their culture. So how do you know if your culture is biased? First of all, look at your website. Look at the About the Team tab. Look at the graphics. Do you see diversity there? Do people all look the same? Look at who you are hiring. Who is the company attracting? Who is applying? Next, look at who gets the interviews and who gets the job. Is it the usual suspects? If they are, then your talent acquisition process just might be biased. What about promotions? Who gets promoted? Who's been doing the same role for 5 years without a change? Do you notice anything there? What about the leadership team? What is the mix of genders? Do you see people of color? And to what extent do you see them? Do you see women in those roles? What about performance? What do you measure? How is it measured? Does it give some people advantages and others not? Do people with spouses at home with an Ivy League education who drive their own cars have an advantage over those who don't? And who gets the hot jobs? Who gets the projects, the high visibility projects? Finally, who is leaving? What is the tenure of people of color versus others? Do people of color stay there? Do women stay there? And why do they leave? Debiasing your culture requires a systemic look at your policies and processes up and down the talent management cycle, from talent acquisition, onboarding, training, assessing performance, promoting, paying, and exiting. If you don't take a comprehensive approach, you may improve your representation of people of color and women for a while, but it will be short-lived. Reach out to me at www.mendozaandobrien.com if you want to take the first step.
Oh, another gem from Coach Larry. I learn something each and every week, and I always invite listeners to grab out your pen and piece of paper and take some notes when Coach Larry talks, because the information he gives you will help you to be more effective and productive and successful in your careers. If you'd like to reach Coach Larry, very simple. You go to MendozaandOBrien.com, or you just go to LinkedIn and find Larry O'Brien. And you'll be glad you did if you engage him. He does all his programs around the world, delivers them both in English and in Spanish. Larry O'Brien. All right, next part of the show is we have Boston Danny. He's going to give us our Boston update. Boston Danny, if you haven't listened to the show, he likes to brag about his sports teams, talk about his grandson Desmond. He wants to tell us about the weather in the fair city of Boston, Massachusetts. And that's all fun, and it always makes me laugh because he delivers it in a Boston accent that's thicker than thick. But Boston Danny also gives shout-outs. So if you have someone that has a birthday, an anniversary, maybe someone just accomplished something special and you'd like to recognize them, just drop me a line. Send an email to Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. I'll take that email. I'll put it in Boston Danny's hands, and he will give you a shout-out, a wicked pisser shout-out like only Boston Danny can. with no further ado, let's get this week's Boston Update with Boston Danny.
Hey, Jacksonville. Danny here, coming for you for the update. Well, it's been a little bit crazy around here, you know, with everything that's going on. I know you folks got your own brand of craziness, but, you know, let me start off with the weather. 2 weeks ago, it was snowing. We got a good 6 inches of snow on the ground. It was gone in 2 days, but it definitely snowed. People were pretty surprised. It was a good thing to see. But this week, it went up to the mid-70s. You know, not record-breaking in Boston, but around the vicinity. Providence, different other places, a lot of record-breaking temperatures up in Maine. It was getting up as high as 76 degrees. Boston takes its official reading right at the airport, which is right on the harbor, so it's always a little bit cool there, so it's tough to break a record sometimes. But, you know, we had that going for us. We enjoyed it, made for some nice working weather. But we know the winter's coming. Farmer's Almanac is calling for us to have an awful winter, but we're hard workers. We get through it. We know what to expect, just like everybody else. The COVID, you know, like everyone else, it's spiking for here, up here. We, you know, we got a few different things that the governor came out and he imposed a curfew on us, bars, everything. You should be home by 9:30. Everybody had to close down. And, you know, nobody should be out until 5 o'clock except the essential workers. And what's going on, you got to go to work and that. So mandatory wearing a mask. So I hope, you know, everybody down in Florida is doing the right things, keep themselves safe. You know, as a country, we'll get through this. As long as we just, you know, stay human to each other, you know, that's all we can do. Up here on the sports front, you know, we're all still rooting for Cam Newton. He's having his struggles, but he'll find his groove. He'll get us together. It's rebuilding. Belichick is trying his best to get everybody up to where they're at and doing what they need to do. You know, we got Alex Cora back as our manager, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, the guys love to see Alex Cora. He's a good motivator, so I'm glad to see him back for one. You know, one of our Boston sports legends just passed away. We lost Tommy Heinsohn, great Celtic, you know, six-time champion, coach. You know, a lot of tributes coming his way for what we got going on there. So, folks, we're trying to get back to normal. I hope you send me your shout-outs. I'd like to wish a wicked happy piss a birthday to everybody that wants one. So I got a few here. I want to wish happy birthday to Mike Costello, Matt Quata, Dean Brown, and Jay Feldman. Guys, have yourself a wicked piss a day. Do something great for yourselves. That's how we do it. So you can, if not for yourself, then take care of it, guys. Brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, remember your first responders, all your nurses, all your doctors, everyone keeping us safe, and of course our military. Active duty and retired, they all get our respect and everything. Peter, you're doing a great job with everybody. Let's keep it going. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, you did it. You just listened to the show, and I want to thank my guest, Mindy Barker, Barker Associates. She's phenomenal. If you got a business that you need to get ready to pitch, to maybe sell to investors, or you want to set up that financial foundation and really understand the flow of money in your business and to be more successful and productive in your business, I suggest all entrepreneurs reach directly out to Mindy Barker. She was phenomenal. I'm glad we got her on the show. She's not easy to get. She's got a busy schedule, but we got her on, and I couldn't be more pleased with the result. I also want to thank Coach Larry O'Brien. Each and every week gives us a leadership lesson. I want to thank Boston Danny for giving us another Boston update. And I have the world's best producer, Josh McCarthy. I want to thank him, as each and every week he makes all this possible. Guys, you just listen to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on the all-new PTJG Broadcast Network.